Welcome to the North Point Community Church Podcast. We're so glad that you've chosen to be part of creating a Christ-centered, culture-changing community. For more information on North Point or any of our other ministries, you can visit our website at www.northpoint.ccpeople.com. We hope that you enjoyed this inspiring word from our pastor.
Okay, you're all there. 2 Kings chapter 4, starting in verse 1. One day, the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out, "My husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come, threatening to take my two sons as slaves. What can I do to help you?" Elisha asked. "Tell me, what do you have in the house?" "Nothing at all, except a flask of olive oil," she replied. And Elisha said, "Borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it's filled." So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after another. Soon, every container was full to the brim. "Bring me another jar," she said to one of her sons. "There aren't any more," he told her. And then the olive oil stopped flowing. When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, "Now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left over." Today, we're going to talk about all in the overflow. All in the overflow. Let's pray. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father God, I pray that you'd speak to us in the next few minutes as we talk about living in your overflow. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. In the story, we see the widow has a problem. She has a provision problem. She can't pay her debt, so the creditors have come and said, "We're going to take your two sons and we're going to sell them as slaves to pay your debts." And she's desperate, and she finds Elisha, the prophet, the man of God, and she begins to vocalize her problems to him. And then he asks her two questions. He says, first, "What do you want me to do for you?" But then he changes the question. And he says, "No, wait a minute." He goes, "Not just what do you want me to do for you?" He says, "What is in your house? What is in your house?" And her first response is she says, "Nothing at all." Nothing at all. Maybe she said nothing at all, then she remembered who she was talking to, and he was a prophet, and he probably knew that the oil was in the house. And so she didn't want to be caught as a liar. And so she said, "Nothing at all. Well, there is one small flask of oil." There is one small flask of oil. It's interesting here that so many times whenever we come to God, we're asking God to do things for us, and God wants to know what's in our house. God wants to know, what do you already have in your hand? And that's what God is speaking here to this woman. And there's just a few things that we want to point out to you through this story. And the very first is this, is that all we have is the oil. Number one is, all we have is the oil. Throughout Scripture, oil is representative of the Holy Spirit. And in life, we might not have all of the best connections. You might not caught all of the right breaks in your life. And maybe today you're looking for things in your house that are not there. And maybe if I would ask you, "Hey, what do you have in your hand?" Or, "What do you have in your house?" Or, "What talent, what gift, what abundance do you have?" And you might say, "I don't have anything at all." But you see, we all have some oil. We all have some oil. If you have been born again, if you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, then that means the Holy Spirit has taken up residence on the inside of you. The Bible says the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, it's the same Spirit that raised you from death to life, and that Spirit is now dwelling on the inside of you. And the Holy Spirit is all that you need, because the Holy Spirit is always more than enough. The Holy Spirit is always more than enough in your life. And so when you start looking at, how are we going to meet the needs in this city? How are we going to plant these churches? How are we going to deal with these cultural issues? We might not have all of the answers, and we might not have all of the resources, and we might not have the perfect plan, but there is something that we have have this morning. We have the oil. We have a flask of oil. We have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And because we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, we all have more than enough.
The second thing is this, is that the oil looks for vessels. The oil looks for vessels. The widow wasn't able to simply sell the oil. She needed vessels. And we know that the Holy Spirit moves through people. God chooses to use people to accomplish his purposes here on the earth. And the Bible uses the metaphor of a potter and his clay when he talks about us. So we know that we are supposed to be vessels that are used of God. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And the Holy Spirit is always looking for more vessels. In Acts 2, we see this picture of what happened after the Holy Spirit had come upon all of the believers. And we see this beautiful picture of what happens when a community together understands that all we have as a church, all we have as a body is the oil. It says all the believers were devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miracles, signs, and wonders. And at the very end it says, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. See, on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people, 3,000 vessels were added to their number. And then when Peter and John spoke out after the healing of the lame man, that number rose to 5,000. That's 2,000 new vessels. And throughout the New Testament, adding to their number is a common theme. So this is the truth, is that an oil-filled community, a community that is full of the Holy Spirit, will always be a growing community because the oil is looking for vessels to fill.
And the third thing is this, vessels come because they are brought into the house. Vessels come because they are brought into the house. The vessels in this lady's house, they did not get there on their own. They had to be brought into the house. The vessels didn't just show up on her front porch. The vessels just weren't walking. They didn't sprout legs and walk right on over because it was time for a miracle. No, instead, she had to go and get the vessels. And it's the same way with us. We don't just invite people into our community. We don't just invite people to our church. We don't just invite people into the faith. We have to bring them with us. We have to go and get them. And we bring them into our small groups. And we bring them into the faith. And that's what the Great Commission says. This is what Jesus put as the mission of his body moving forward in Matthew 28:19. It says, therefore, go. Everybody say, go.
Go.
He says, therefore, go and make disciples. Therefore, go and make disciples. He doesn't say, sit still and wait and watch what God does. He says, go. Go and make. Get active. Be involved. Be a bringer. If we are truly great commission followers, we must be people who are constantly bringing others into our community. We must all be vessel seekers, the same way that she sent her sons and said, hey, I want you to go find vessels. I want you to go bring them into the house. We've got to be the same way. Every day during the week, what are we looking for? We're looking for a brand new vessel. When we're in the grocery store, what are you doing? You're looking for a brand new vessel. When you're at your kids' soccer game, what are you doing? You're looking for another vessel that God can fill up with oil, because every vessel knows another vessel, and they can bring somebody else with them so that the oil of God, the Holy Spirit, might fill their life, might change their family, might restore their hope, might heal their broken hearts, and might do miracles through them. But here's the thing, the widow and her sons, they had to ask. They had to ask for the vessels. And you're going to have to learn to ask. You're going to have to learn to ask people to join you at church on Sunday morning. You're going to have to ask people to come to one of your small groups. You're going to have to ask people to join you in the reading of a book, to join you for lunch so that you can share what has happened into your life. You're going to have to ask. Can you imagine if this woman and her sons would have just been too shy? Can you imagine what would have happened if she had not been willing to go and knock on doors and ask her neighbors for vessels? Can you imagine if she would have just gone back to her house and just waited on the vessels to magically appear at her front door? If she would have done that, she would have missed her miracle. And you know, the truth of that is if we do that, then we will also miss our miracle. We have to learn what it is to go and to knock on doors and to knock on hearts. We must know what it is to ask. The Bible tells us to ask. It's our culture that tells you to keep quiet. The Bible teaches you to ask. Jesus was always asking. The disciples were always asking. The stories in the Bible are about asking. It's our culture that's trying to keep you quiet. No, we must learn what it is to ask. Vessels don't just walk into this house. They're not going to walk into our church. It takes me. It takes you. It takes all of us bringing vessels into the house the same way that we as vessels were brought into the house.
Number four, when we stop bringing the vessels, the oil stops flowing. When we stop bringing the vessels, the oil stops flowing. Now, we're using a lot of metaphors here, but how many of you know that there are people in our world who they just need Jesus? This is the thing. Whether you think they need Jesus or not, they need Jesus. We believe that Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. We believe that. That's why we're here. We're not here for some cultural responsibility. We're here because we actually believe what the book says. And the book says that Jesus Christ is the only hope, that he is the way, that he is the truth, and he is the life. That's why we're here. And we believe that we have an opportunity to give other people a chance to know God. Do we save people? No. We don't save people. But you know what? This lady didn't fill people. She didn't fill those vessels. She didn't fill them up herself. She just brought them into the house. It's not your responsibility to own somebody else's journey with Jesus. It's not your responsibility to tell them how it should go. It is our responsibility to bring people along the journey with us. But when we stop bringing the vessels, the oil will stop flowing. One of the most interesting parts of this story is when she asked for another vessel because there was more oil. And he says, there's no more vessels, and the oil stops flowing. You know, I wonder if in that moment she remembered a neighbor that she hadn't asked. I wonder if in that moment she wished she had gone to a couple more streets over. I wonder what she was thinking in that moment. I know she was incredibly grateful for all that God had already done for her. But do you wonder if there was just a twinge of, what if? What if? See, in a church, the oil doesn't stop flowing. The Spirit of God doesn't stop giving because the music's out of date. It doesn't stop because the preacher isn't the best. It doesn't stop because of the time of year or the season or the politics of the country. It doesn't stop for any of those reasons. The only reason it stops is when we stop bringing vessels into the house of God. Because at that time, then we have turned and we are looking at ourselves and we are not focused on what God loves, because God loves the world. God was so serious about his love for the world that he sent his only son to die. That is an incredible sacrifice. And he just asks us to get in on the journey by asking others into his kingdom. The oil only stops flowing when we stop bringing vessels into the house of God. See, the oil, the presence of God that we experience here every single time that we gather. God's so sweet to show up. It's amazing. But it's here not for us to have a good experience. It's here so that we will be motivated to be a part of this great adventure and this great story. It's here to change minds and hearts. It's here to make a difference. You know, if I was looking for Ella, I would expect for Carolina Lee and Juju to get really excited about that mission. Ella's my youngest daughter. She can't walk, so we don't have to look for her. She stays where she is. That's like such a blessing. After you've had three kids, like you forget how great it is to leave a kid and you know where you left them. You don't have that problem. Okay, cool, cool. But if I was looking for Ella, I would expect Carolina Lee and Juju to get really excited about looking for her. God is looking for all of his kids, right? To bring them back to him, to bring them back into relationship with him. And as daughters and sons of God, we too need to join in on the search. The Bible says that it's not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should have eternal life. See, I want to live in a community. I want to attend a church where the Holy Spirit is central. I want to live in a community where we gather and we feel his presence and we know that he has a purpose and a future for us. But let me tell you, if we are not people who continue to bring vessels into the house, if we don't keep Christ's mission as the center of everything we do, we will become a community that no longer has the oil.
So good. This is the last thing that we'll pull out of the story. It says, when we are faithful to bring vessels, trust God, and rely on the oil, we get to live in the overflow. When we are faithful to bring vessels, to bring people, to trust God, and rely on the Holy Spirit, we get to live in the overflow. You see, all the widow wanted was an immediate need to be met. All that she wanted was her sons not to be taken as slaves. But God had a plan to do immeasurably more than she even expected. God had a plan to do exceedingly, abundantly above anything that she could have possibly thought or imagined. You see, this is what the passage says in verse 7. When she told the man of God what had happened, that all the vessels had been filled, he said to her, "Now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on whatever is left over." You see, because she had gone and gotten the vessels, now she was living in the overflow of God's blessing. She didn't just get what she asked for, she got more than she asked for. She didn't just get what she wanted, she got more than she dreamed possible. "I just didn't want my kids to be taken as slaves." And God said, "No, I've got something better than that. I'm not only going to do that for you, I'm going to allow you to live in the overflow." And that is the abundant life that Jesus Christ talks about in John chapter 10:10, when he says, "The enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and that you might have it to the full," that you might have a life that is overflowing, that you might have a life that is abundant. That's what Jesus was talking about, and that's what this woman was getting the chance to live in. She was living in the overflow of the goodness of God. And you see, you cannot live in the overflow experience until you let go of what is in your hand. Come on. You don't get the overflow of God until you let go of what is in your house. Until you trust God with what is in your house, you don't get to experience the overflow of God. You see, as we are faithful to bring people into the house of God, God's going to be faithful to fill them up with his Holy Spirit. As we are sent out and as we live as people that are sent on mission, God is going to be faithful to allow you to live in an overflow of blessing that you never dreamed possible. You were just praying that you could be free from your addiction. You were just hoping that God would restore your marriage. You were just hoping one day you wouldn't have to live with this depression. You were just hoping that one day hope might fill your heart again. You were just hoping that the relationship with your dad could be restored. You just came hoping for one thing, but God said, "No, I've got a plan to do immeasurably more, exceedingly abundantly above anything that you could ever ask or imagine." And not only are you going to get that, but you are going to get so much more, because that is who God is.
If you'd stand with me, we'll close. You know, you may say, "Destiny, you're talking about all of these church plants. You're talking about all of this expansion. You know, you're talking about bringing vessels into the house. That's not where I am right now." Hey, that's okay. That's okay, but you're part of this community. You're part of this community. And I want you to understand that God has a plan for us as a body. Christianity is not individualistic. It's communal. That's what it is. It's communal. It's about us sticking together as communities and doing great things. I'm going to get real nerdy on you for a minute. This is just a nerd alert. It's about to happen, okay? So when I was in college, I did my senior thesis on the impact of the opportunity to immigrate on low-income countries when immigration is based on education. So there's this theory that when a country like China has an opportunity for their people to immigrate to a place where, the living standards are higher. And this is back in the 80s and 90s. Right now, China has, you will live as long if you're born in Beijing today as you will in Washington, D.C. It has an incredible standard of living. But this was back in the 70s and 80s. If there is a standard, if there's an opportunity to immigrate to a place where the standard of living is perceived as higher, and that opportunity is based on education, this is what happens. It raises the overall education level for the entire country. Just the opportunity to go. It doesn't mean that everybody goes. And that's why brain drain is kind of not true for a lot of places, because what happens is the overall education raises, and so you end up with a country that is better off than they would have been if they had just all stayed put. And sometimes we as a church, we can buy into the lie that we don't need to send anybody because we need everybody here. But the opportunity to be sent, the opportunity to go, the challenge to go, the faith to go, it raises the faith level of our entire community. People start having to step up who never would have stepped up. We start seeing people believe for things that they never would have believed for if we had just stayed here in the same people had led, and the same people had done this, and the same people have done that. No, we're all going to have to go to a next level if we want to see what God has for us. I'm so excited about this, but you need to understand, this isn't just about this year. This isn't just about this year. Your commitment isn't just about this year. It's about the next generation. It's about the next generation, and that's why we're asking you to go all in.
Thanks for listening today. We hope you were encouraged by the Word of God. If you'd like more information on North Point Community Church, you can find us online at www.northpoint.ccpeople.com.